Learn more about the albums you love with Dissect, a music analysis podcast hosted by me, Cole Kushner, a lifelong musician and composer. Each season of Dissect dives deep into a single album, forensically dissecting the music, lyrics, and meaning of one song per episode. Our newest season is covering Tyler, the Creator's Igor, a beautifully honest album in which Tyler explores love, communication, masculinity, and truth. Listen to Dissect today only on Spotify, because great art deserves more than a swipe.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of Weekends. I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined by two very special guests today. They are the rabble-rousers of Warriors Twitter, the voice of the people, you know, Twitter, Warriors Nation proletariat, if you will. They're not these fancy-schmancy credential-having motherfuckers, okay? Sam Esfandiari and Andy Liu of the Light Years podcast. What's going on, fellas?
I mean, should we even be allowed to speak on here without credentials?
Y'all boys is blog boys. Pod boys. Y'all not the real deal. You guys don't wear fedoras with feathers in them. Okay? You don't show up to the Steve Kerr press conference with an actual notepad and writing in cursive. You guys aren't real. Y'all not part of the craft of this here journalism, okay? This isn't a game. It's a calling, okay? So if you guys haven't taken the oath to uphold, what is this shit called? The fifth pillar? The fifth element? What's journalism called? I forget. Anyway, y'all not part of the crew.
I think fifth element's a movie.
Okay, whatever. Y'all knew what the hell I'm talking about. Sam and Andy, welcome to the pod, man. I'm so happy to have y'all on.
Appreciate you, man. Is anything more fraudulent than journalism where you just write about sports? Like, you know what? What I'm trying to say is I spent a lot of time in my life reading about sports. Uh-huh. And I do feel like a lot of journalism out nowadays is so boring, right? Mm. Outside of like your explosive stories, like maybe you get like a, hey, nobody respects Carl Anthony Towns in the Minnesota locker room story. That's a cool story. I'd read that story. But outside of that, I do feel like a lot of writing nowadays in sports is kind of boring, which kind of leads to the podcasting stuff where people just generally want to listen to people bullshit, which is kind of what we're doing.
I'll say this. This is all I'll say on the subject. And I was just joking. Now, I got too inside baseball about a Twitter joke and a Warriors Twitter, whatever. I'm so entrenched in y'all world that it's ridiculous. This is the thing about people in our profession. A lot of them are very insecure about a lot of things. But one of the main things is that you have this creeping suspicion that as a sports journalist, your job doesn't fucking matter. You're talking about sports. Like, who gives a damn? Like, we love it. Obviously, we're maniacs about this shit. Of course, we love it and we're going to consume it. But Nobody's life is actually affected by this. This isn't as important as the war in the Ukraine. I mean, come on. We all know this.
What's going on in the Donbass right now?
Exactly. We all know this. And I think some people in our profession, like, they let that creeping insecurity and, you know, they're just understanding about how meaningless what we do is. And they just lash out in weird ways sometimes. And it's stupid. And it's real gatekeepy. And it's like, guys, we're here to have fun. We're here to celebrate this game and these things that we all love. Let's stick to that and, like, get out of the whole, you know, self-serious and self-importance. That's my PSA for today. But let's get into the Warriors, man, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think any single contender has looked like world beaters to start the season. I don't think you can say that about anybody as of yet. However, I think I'm about the least worried about the Warriors. But I do think there are some interesting dynamics that creep in, especially when you talk about one. And I know we're going to get right into it, fellas. The Wiseman situation.
Oh, the situation? Can we get like a Chiron? It's like CNN, wow. The Wiseman situation.
It's a situation because this team won the championship last year. This isn't one of those theoretical championship or bust teams.
Sure.
No, they won the chip last year. Okay. They won the chip last year. Like, this is a serious championship contender, but they do have a sort of youth wave, youth movement that they're trying to usher in, and they're delicately trying to handle. And Wiseman is sort of the mascot of this situation because, one, it's easy to see his potential, but two, he's clearly not very good right now. So it's like those dualities are competing, and we see it with the extension being handed out to Jordan Poole and all of these kind of things. Like, we understand the youth movement is happening, but they're trying to win too. And how do you feel about that tension, Sam and Andy? I've, you know, put this to you guys.
So it's two ways for me. So it's like the reality is they played kind of an 8-man rotation in the playoffs, and they let two of those guys go, GP2 and Otto Porter. And they want to replace them with the kids they drafted in the top 10. You know, Wiseman, Kuminga. You can even throw Moody in there. He's a 14th pick. Makes sense, but it also, it's like one of those things that makes sense on paper. And then in reality, you're like, yeah, development doesn't always work at the pace you want it to. So on the one hand, I'm like, kind of a gamble. On the other hand, season's long. Do I really think they can't pick up a veteran big man at the trade deadline? If Wiseman doesn't develop at the pace you expect, if Kuminga doesn't develop, let's say we get to January, February, and we're like, man, there's no way those guys are going to be ready to contribute 15 minutes a game in the playoffs. Can the Warriors really not just kind of go out there and like find a Bielitsa or an Otto Porter to eat some of those minutes? So it's like, if nothing else, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch them try to do something that no one else has tried to do.
Are you having fun?
Is it fun? I was literally going to ask, is it fun? I think in theory, if you take at it at a high level, it is fun because high level, it's Warriors are the best team in basketball. The Warriors, when it comes to the postseason, like Sam is saying, is going to play eight guys, and those eight guys are going to be all the veteran guys, I think. I was thinking about this last night.
They don't have eight vets, though.
Well, you could throw Jermichael Green and Dante, count Dante as a vet, and say screw it. Although, you know, who knows how good those guys actually are. But we had the same questions last year about Otto and GP2, right? So I was thinking about this last night. Klay Thompson was on the All the Smoke pod, and he was saying how he was pumped up that he was able to win a championship. I think he said his fourth or fifth year in the league. And he was like, well, I got that out of the way. And I was thinking, like, damn, that actually happened really fast. He got to where he wasn't the second best player. He was the third best player on the team, maybe even fourth after Andre. But he was to a point where he was good enough to win a championship player as a rotation piece. I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking about Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman. I'm like, what year are those guys in? Kuminga, Moody, year two. Wiseman, essentially year one. Or maybe you can say like second half of year one. All that being said, even if the Warriors get to build these guys up for the postseason, I still don't believe they're going to be good enough to play winning basketball when it really matters, not more than like 5 minutes, except for maybe Moses Moody. Like when it truly, truly matters, you're not even going to see Wiseman on the floor come April and May. And then Kuminga, I mean, I don't know. He's not even playing right now, right? So who is to say he's going to be playing in May? So I think it comes down to it. All this is fun and games for the next 80 games. But yeah, man, if it comes to April and May, I don't, those kids aren't sniffing the floor.
You know, it's funny because as I'm listening to you guys speak, I can hear fan bases of other teams listening to this and thinking to themselves, this is first world problems. This is a rich man's problem. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do if our number one pick, our number two overall pick is going to pan out this year. We don't know if Kuminga is going to turn into a rotational player this year. But even without it, we're championship worthy. I can hear the fan bases in places like LA, both teams, by the way, and Brooklyn being like, those are your problems? Seriously? But I bring it up because, you know, and people are going to say, oh, you guys are dwelling on the Draymond thing. I think it matters because it's of a piece. It's like all of these things sound great on a higher level in theory, but in practice, these are human beings. And this business is a human business, meaning like you deal with people problems and resentment. What that means is resentments, jealousies, you know, all of those kind of things come into place in this kind of workplace, hothouse, hyper-competitive environment. And, you know, reading your tweet, Andy, where you're just like, bruh, we can't do this shit without Draymond Green. We can't, we literally cannot do it without what he brings on defense. And yet, you know, he seems to be the, organizationally, it feels like he's the one that feels the least coveted.
By the way, I had a ton of people text me when he punched out Jordan Poole saying like, whoa, get him out of here. We got Wiseman and Kuminga. And I'm like, y'all don't understand.
That's crazy. That's insane.
One, y'all don't understand how bad those kids are at trying to play winning basketball. Y'all don't realize how bad they are. And then two, you don't realize how good Draymond is, but he's an asshole. So, you know, I think he's gone after the season. But anyway,
yeah, there's like a half dozen guys in the league you could replace Draymond with at most, and they'd still be a contender. You know, like there's not that many. Wow. Even though he doesn't score, like he's the anchor of everything they do defensively. And that's kind of important. As you see, when you replace with Wiseman, they're kind of not winning at the same clip. What I wanted to ask you was, do you think Draymond is loving this more than anyone? Because every time we watch the young kids go in there and it's just so clear that they're years away from being like contributors in real playoff basketball. And that's fine. They're 20. That's how this thing usually works. Do you think he's loving it? Because it makes him look more valuable. And the farther away we get from the punch, the more you're like, all right, he's a little bit of a dick. And I wish he wouldn't do some things he did. But when he's out there with Steph, with Clay, with Wiggins, those guys were not beatable. And when he's not out there, they're a pretty average team, you know?
You know what's so funny about you guys asking me that is the thing that I always come back to whenever Draymond does something completely, you know, insane and unhinged is that ultimately he's always been right. Like he's right. Yeah. You know, when he's yelling at KD about, yo, KD, we don't get out of our shit so you can monopolize our offense and shut the fuck up. Like, I don't care how good you are and I don't care that you're leaving you're leaving anyway and all of this stuff. And like, bro, ultimately he's right about how the Warriors need to play to win, right? Like anytime he's gotten into arguments, yelling at dudes to be in the right spot or, you know, make the right pass or set the right screen or slip the screen when it's needed or do whatever, he's right ultimately about the basketball part. And when Draymond is like, yo, I should be getting paid before these cats, I have a bigger impact on winning than them, he's right. He's right. He's just more important than Wiggins is. He's more important than Jordan Poole is ultimately when it comes to winning right now. Yeah. It's just the truth. And so when you ask me, do I think Draymond is laughing? Like, yeah. You know, if sports were as meritocratic as we proclaim them to be, Draymond could take the tape last night or the night when whatever the Phoenix matchup.
Tuesday night, yeah.
He could take that clip, just isolate the Wiseman defensive possessions, just place that on Bob Myers' desk. Say, can we watch this together? You want to go play by play through this? You want to do this together? You know, you want to like, actually, do we want to actually talk about what I bring to the table. Like, he would have the right of way. There's just no two ways about it. And again, the reason why this matters, and I think Steph being in Golden State, I'll say this again, he just don't get enough credit for being the kind of leader that he is. This guy's holding this shit together as far as the temperaments involved. Brooklyn as the counterexample. Who in Brooklyn is going to make that situation right? You know, and so I think if it wasn't for Steph, this Draymond thing over the course of this long-ass season could get nasty because he's just right.
Are we sure it still won't get nasty?
That's the thing.
You're just saying it get nastier. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, when you think about how good Golden State is, but they don't have to be this good. They don't have to be this functional. These real-life human situations can bubble to the surface. And I think that's what makes watching them so fascinating.
I mean, 2019 was literally, they went through the shittiest year and they still should have won. Everybody, 100% of people know that they should have won that year and they were absolutely miserable, which I think what Steph did underrated last season was coming off the bench, because now Jordan Poole comes off the bench. You watch Jordan Poole and you're like, well, the dude's getting paid $120+ million and he's coming off the bench. That's crazy. That's not something I don't think Jordan Poole would normally be able to do.
That's the new status quo. Tyler Hero's doing it, right, you know, Anthony Simon, whatever, you know, just mill off the bench.
which to Miami's case is like, well, you should probably, you guys have no offense. But anyway, actually Warriors play Miami tonight. So that'll be good for those guys to play. The Draymond stuff is fascinating because there's also another piece of this, I think, too, is how long does Draymond have that quote unquote leadership quality in the locker room? Steve Kerr talked about him kind of losing it and Steph kind of taking that mantle, which I think we always said that Steph had that mantle. But how long before, I mean, do you think Kuminga listens to Draymond? Do you think Wiseman listens to Draymond? Do you think Jordan Poole? I don't know. But there's got to be some point here where these guys are looking at him like, dude, you're freaking, like, you're the crazy uncle. Like, we don't really care about you anymore, man. But to your point, whatever Draymond is saying is right, because whatever the young guys are doing is wrong, because it ain't working out there, right? But are they listening to Draymond? I don't know. It's a fascinating thing.
It's going to be interesting to see how it evolves over the course of the season, because everyone's on their best behavior. We're four games into the season.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they looked okay in some games. It looked rocky in others. But it's four games. Everyone's like preaching the process and let's see how this looks. What does it look like if we're at game 30 and it's still like starters come out with a 10-point lead and come back in down 10 points type of thing? You know, do you start seeing like Steph and Clay get less patient with that sort of stuff? Does Draymond stop? You know, currently he's on his good behavior because
yes, that is correct.
We're less than a month from his last transgression. The Draymond cycle is very, very, I mean, it's always the same. He does something completely insane, apologizes, says he's going to be better, gets back on his good behavior, and then 2 to 3 months go by and he's forgotten about it again. Yeah. But anyway.
It's like an alcoholic, right? It's not like a person with an addiction. It's like, you know, he's clean. I'm clean. Everyone's clean. Everything's great. And all of a sudden he sees that first tequila shot and he's back on. You know, who knows what it's going to be for Draymond. A couple weeks from now.
Is Jordan Poole the tequila in this analogy?
Those guys are flammable, man. Probably.
The NBA season is underway and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 guaranteed. Plus, FanDuel is the only sports book that's giving all customers 3 months of NBA League Pass when they make a $5 bet on the NBA. I want to talk to you guys about a bet that I'm really into, and that's Giannis minus 550 for DPOY. I think he's the most versatile defender in the NBA, and he's going to play the games. He's going to make the impact. Bet that right now. That's free money for you guys. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spread to player props. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-day parlay. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So download FanDuel today and use promo code RINGERNBA. That's promo code RINGERNBA to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sports book partner of the NBA. 21 and older and present in select states. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 in Arizona, 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now. Or how many times do I have to tell you? I'm vegan! Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
Listen. And I want to bring the listeners into just why I love you guys so much, because we're talking sort of higher level stuff, but we can get into the granular stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching that game and I'm doing the second screen stuff. I'm on Twitter and all of the beat guys. And full disclaimer.
Oh boy.
I got a lot of respect for people who are on the beat. I understand the nature of their job is different from somebody like me or even Sam and Andy who are on the ground, but they don't rely on quote unquote access journalism to deliver what they deliver to Golden State Warriors fans. It's not dependent on this access journalism stuff. And I think we need access journalism. So I'm not trying to denigrate those guys. I'm just saying they're going to take a more positive posture, a more positive outlook on things that are happening with the team because they deal with these folks on a day-to-day, so they're less likely to trash something. That's not to say they're giving people untruths or half-truths. They're going to give you the most optimistic reading of something related to the team.
Right.
So now I'm done with that disclosure. We can get to the nitty-gritty. A bunch of beat guys are on Twitter like, wow, Wiseman looks good. He looks great. He's running the floor. He dunked it while he was wide open. Wow, you got to be satisfied with what you've seen from Wiseman thus far. And then there are other people who might be looking at the things that you really going to need this guy to do in order to contribute to winning basketball. It was like, yeesh, this was a nasty first half for him. Sam. What did you see from Wiseman that you were just like, man, this is concerning?
I mean, the center's primary responsibility for the Warriors is to anchor the defense and help facilitate the shooters,
more than anything, right? You know, it's like you can go back to Andrew Bogut, Draymond, Draymond obviously made his living on that. Looney's actually got really good at that as well. And he's a second late on everything. You know, if he should be rotating to the help side, he's, you know, he's a second late. And it's just, it's deer in headlights. Mm. It's, again, not surprising. He didn't play last year. And when he played as a rookie, he also looked deer in headlights. I think it's something like 1,000 minutes of organized basketball in the last 4 years. Why would you expect him to be able to rotate at the speed of NBA action at this point? But it's just like, it's jarring, because if your center doesn't know what to do, then the other team's just going to be like, pick and roll, put him in pick and roll every time. And it's a layup or an open three or an open kick out to three every time. So that's what I was watching. I'm just sitting here going, I don't know how this even benefits his development, throwing him out there to get sauteed by Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, you know, like,
well, I saw Davion Mitchell score over him. Davion Mitchell's dude, he's like my height. He's like 6'1", maybe tops. And he scored. Now, I wouldn't be able to score over Wiseman, but come on, man. James Wiseman does things that Warriors fans have never seen, ever. He's a 7-plus footer that can run the floor faster than, definitely run the floor faster than Kevon Looney, but can run the floor faster than a lot of wings in the NBA. Right,
he beat Ayton down the floor a bunch of times, and Ayton is one of the smoothest running bigs out there.
Yep, right. So he's got that, like, he's not Giannis, but he moves in a way that you're like, what the hell? And then he can dunk, kind of rebound. He can shoot a little bit. So you're seeing things where you're just like, holy crap, we've never seen this before. The question, though, is how much does that actually matter to winning basketball, right? So if you can do all these things that are so cool, like run the floor, does that actually matter? Because Kevon Looney cannot run faster than I. You know, another comparison for myself. He cannot run faster than I, but it doesn't matter, because when it comes down to the NBA finals, dude is on the floor grabbing 15 rebounds a game. That's winning basketball. And so I think that, I mean, it felt like Wiseman can was guard a
Luka,
pick.
Can guard Luka on an island. Andy Lou can't do that.
I can't guard walls on an island. And so it felt like the Wiseman pick. And actually, I'm with Sam. Like, I don't know. It's early. You can't really say it's a bad pick, though. They have to make a decision here soon about picking up his option. But it's a matter of, he does all these things that they think is cool and is athletic, but do those translate to winning basketball? It just feels like a Joe Lacob. Wow, this is a shiny object. We must have him. We don't have him. Kevon Looney, Damian Jones, all these guys can't do this. So now we have to get a guy that does this. And then you get him and you're like, all right, shit. Now we got to teach him all the things that matter to winning. Can he find rebounding position? Can he catch a basketball? Because even when he's in rebounding position, he can't catch a basketball, right? Can he actually, well, Sam says he's a second behind. Even when he gets into the right position, he puts his hand up and somebody shoots it over him. Like, he's kind of confused whether to foul or not, right? So it's a lot. I'm tired talking about him. And I can't imagine what he has to think about.
I got 78 more of these suckers to talk about him on. What I was going to say is, the thing that was always so interesting to me about Wiseman, it's like, when you think of the Warriors, the Steph Curry, Steve Kerr era Warriors dynasty, they are defined by players who are not the most athletic. Like, they're obviously all good athletes, but they're not. It's not Giannis. It's not, you know, LeBron. It's not like quick twitch, like above the rim athletes, right? And they're also not particularly big either. They've always been a team that it's more about like IQ and skill level to win. And with both the Wiseman and the Kuminga draft pick, it's all tools. Yeah. It's picking the opposite, thinking they could teach some of the more innate intuitive qualities that define like the way Steph plays and really define the way Draymond plays more than anyone, right?
So what you're saying is, like, you guys played the Kings and you watch a guy like Keegan Murray who just has a feel automatically. He don't got the bounce. He doesn't have the quick twitch stuff.
He's not going to win a dunk contest. Kuminga could.
He's not, but his feel for the game is so impressive for somebody his age and, you know, the guys that they brought in. Although, listen, I think Moody's going to be a rotational piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a rotational piece, I think, by the end of this year.
So the guy that got drafted like 10 picks after Wiseman, the Warriors loved this dude, also was on the Kings, Tyrese Haliburton. Was. Imagine it also was on it. Yep. Which Kings being Kings traded him away because they're idiots. That guy, peak Warriors player. And the Warriors loved him. But you know, you get to the top two pick and you're like, you gotta draft the guy that has all the tools. But you look, I watch Halliburton playing. I'm like, shit, man, that guy. Yeah. I'd rather have him than LaMelo.
His feel is incredible. Like, I thought he was like a good passer. No, this dude is like elite passer. Shoots it. But yeah, look, the young guys is something to monitor going forward. Outside of the young guys, what are you guys? Because this is what I love about fandom. And you guys are unabashed in your fandom. Your neuroses about the team, even when they are championship level,
never end.
It never stops. Like you see a hiccup, a hurdle around every single corner. There's a boogeyman waiting to blow this thing up around every single corner. So tell me what else you guys are looking at related to the team outside of how Kerr manages the young guys and the rotation.
Let's go with Klay Thompson. Had a rough start to the season. I thought he was above my expectations last year, but like the playoffs were up and down for him off of 2.5 year absence. Just curious how he looks going forward, because it seems like, you know, there was hope he'd be better with a full off season. He gets farther away from the injury. And I just don't know. Like in general, I think he's probably playing at a higher level than you would expect someone who had an ACL and Achilles back to back. But it's also like not the Clay you remember on some level. Obviously, it was fun watching him get into it with Devin Booker and get ejected on Tuesday night. That's one thing. And then the other thing for me is just, it's just Steph. Like he doesn't look like he's aging. And as long as he's playing at this level, like he's averaging over 30. He's basically picked up exactly where he was in the playoffs. It's like one of those things where it's like so
filthy in the playoffs. It was ridiculous.
On some level, the young guys thing annoys me because it's like, this is the best player in franchise history. It's not close. Sorry, Wilt, you know? And I mean, he's like, he's a generational player. Like they could be amazing after Steph, and they'll probably never have a player like Steph. So part of me just wants to be like, can we just live in the moment? Because maybe he has one more year at this level. Maybe he has four. Maybe he's the Tom Brady of basketball. And he has a decade. I don't know, you know, but it's like, they want a title. They have a very realistic chance at repeating, and who knows how much longer it can go. I'd rather live in the moment with that, because it's like, who knows what the future holds.
The Warriors are worth $7 billion. Just saw that report that came out. You think that's because of Joe Lacob? you think that's because of Peter
Goob? He's a brilliant businessman. Don't you know? He made billions. He's a self-made billionaire. Of course, the franchise value is because of Joe Lacob.
Because of Joe Lacob. Although, you know, it's better than whatever the Warriors have had for 50 years, right? But, I mean, that's Sam's point about Steph, right? The team went from X millions, talk about millions, to billions, number one over the Lakers and the Knicks. The Clay stuff is the biggest thing. It's to me by far the biggest thing. Dude came into camp and started. He dude looks fat. I mean, he's fat and out of shape. It's pretty obvious for him, right?
NBA fat. Let's clarify.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, but he looks NBA fat and out of shape. He defensively actually didn't look that bad. Shots off. I think part of the problem is he's got a minutes restriction. He can only play like 15, 20 minutes, which sucks. But I think a lot of the issues last season when he came back was how he can fit with the team, how he can play with Jordan Poole. Like that was a weird kind of like situation, another situation you could say that got solved because in the postseason it's winning time. I think a lot of things get solved or they get exposed for the Warriors that got solved in winning time. But now it's like, well, we got 82 games now. Jordan Poole has gotten paid. He right now is a better basketball player than Klay Thompson in the regular season. What happens? And you start to see Klay like, and I think he's wrestling a little bit with like his basketball, I think immortality you could say, where it's just like, dude, I don't know how many years I have left. I think he's asking those questions. And then that's what happens when, you know, I'm sure Devin Booker told him he was washed or some shit and the dude just completely lost it or something. Right. So Klay's the biggest question right now, but I say this, Klay's going to come in tonight and make 8 threes in like 20 minutes. Like that wouldn't surprise me either, but you know.
So yeah, that's what I was going to say is that I remember talking to Sam before or during the playoffs even about Klay specifically, because I thought he just looked bad when he came back. But Sam was like, the thing about Klay is that you know he's going to make shots in a big spot, in a huge spot. So, like, sure, he's an overpaid, overqualified big shot Bob at this point. And, you know, he's still pretty good at defense and all of that. But, like, that's kind of what he does on this team. He doesn't do the on-ball stuff. It's just...
No, it's all Wiggins these days. Yeah.
Make a big shot when you're called upon. And I think he's going to do that. But, you know, again, he's in that Draymond zone of, man, what's your future on this team? And what do these...
They already hired your replacement. Like, I mean, that's already paid him.
Obvious. How can you justify paying Clay and Poole $30 million bucks a piece? That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
To your point on Steph being one of the best leaders in the NBA, it reminds me of like the Celtics when they had that whole, you know, Gordon Hayward and he was getting minutes, but Jaylen Brown was clearly better than him. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Kyrie, opposite end of the spectrum with regards to leadership. So that whole thing just, you know, blew up in flames. But like, you know, that's always kind of the thing with the Warriors. It's like, it's got to be uncomfortable if you're Clay and Draymond, and you know, you mean everything to this franchise. You're very important players and essentially making them a global brand. Like, let's be honest about it.
That's a fact.
They were nothing before this team. They didn't matter in the basketball ether. Like, now they're there with like the Chicago Bulls and like those teams who have global recognition, and they're getting older. And in Clay's case, it's more injuries, but you know, you bring in Jordan Poole, you have a Wiseman, a Kuminga. Management's like letting you know what they want to be able to do. They want to be able to like slowly put you guys out to pasture and have the young guys take you. All things considered, I think it's gone as well as anyone could hope, because it hasn't like, well, I guess there was a punch, but other than that, you know, it's like, it's not like it's a daily grind of drama, like the way that Boston team was, where that's like the worst case example of trying to do two different timelines at the same time.
Right.
But it is just something, it is interesting.
And that's what I love about this team. Even when they are so clearly like, all right, these guys are going to be there at the end of the year, that, you know, you would think like, all right, they're just a known quantity. There's nothing interesting about them. They're still delivering drama and intrigue, even as consistent and as solid of a rock of franchise as you can find these days. So that's why I'm really interested to watch what they do going forward. I want to thank you guys, of course, for coming on the weekend show with me. Tell the people where they can find your stuff. Because, again, to me, obviously, I love Marcus. I love Kawakami. Slater's my dog. I love all of these guys and the coverage that they bring. But I just think there's something unique about, you know, Andy's fucking, you know, Paul Heyman act on Twitter. It's just great. I just love what y'all do. Obviously, y'all my friends, so I'm biased. But tell the people where they can find what y'all doing, man.
Yeah, Light Years. You can follow us on Twitter. Get link to every show. Pretty much have a show after every Warriors game. We're actually doing them on YouTube Live this year, giving that a shot. So you can visually watch us too. You can comment on how ugly we are. We don't really care. But yeah, no, pod feed. But yeah, podcast, YouTube, whatever it may be.
Appreciate you, Waz.
Of course, man. Thank you, guys. And of course, thank Jade Whaley for producing this episode for us. We'll see you guys next weekend. Peace.